Welcome, friends, to another episode of the Paseo Pathway podcast. Shelton is with me today. We're going to be talking about Joshua because we just started that book in our annual reading plan. But we always like to start with a tip or a suggestion to get more out of the Bible. For some of us, this may be your first time reading the Bible, and there's lots of tips and tricks to get more out of the scriptures as you're reading it. So today we wanted to talk about the importance of identifying commands that God is giving that are tied to promises. So there's a link here that we're going to highlight.
I like that. Yeah, when we're making observations, we're reading, just first of all, notice commands, or we call them in imperatives. Those are hey, go do this thing. And so to help understand and realize, hey, like in Joshua, this wasn't written to you. And so like if you are reading Joshua, he gives him a command and it's tied to a promise. So it's not necessarily that you're saying, you're reading this going, if I do this, that same promise is for me. You got to be careful because the Bible's not written to you. So that was to that, but it is written for you. So there's things that you can learn in that of why didn't you start asking questions. Hey, why did God give him that command and link it to a promise? What is it that it, maybe there's an eternal truth that I can glean from that? We're going to go over some today in Joshua 1 that I think are very helpful. So as you were reading and you're just becoming a good student of the Word, these tips are meant to help us slow down. I was on a walk this morning with a guy in our church, and he was saying how, you know, a lot of times he doesn't like reading through the Bible like this because it's just so much. He'd rather go deeper in a passage. But he has found this one, this time it's been very helpful and good for him because he's saying it's causing him to remember and reread things that he had forgotten and just to slow down in your reading. And this is another tip to just say, hey, don't just blast through your reading.
Right.
Slow down, make observations. And so one of the observations being, hey, what's a command in the observation that's being given to that original reader or listener? And is there a promise attached to it? Anything you want to add to that?
First of all, I love that honesty about wanting to go deeper. And I think a lot of times we can feel that way. I have found over the years that there's benefits to both. There's certainly benefits to doing a deep dive in a small passage of scripture. But there are perspectives and things that stand out to you when you are just reading at a faster rate. The fastest I've ever read the Bible, I did a 90-day reading plan.
You're a crazy man.
One time. Would never do it again. But I will say that there were things that stood out to me at that pace because, you know, you're reading in totally different books, like the week after, and you're making connections that I just wouldn't have made otherwise because I'm moving through it more slowly. So it's great that he's experiencing that, and hopefully some of those who are doing the reading. In this passage, Joshua is told to be strong and courageous. So that's the command. There's a few other commands we're going to look at. But what is the promise that is given to him for why he can do that?
Yeah, well, let's first of all back up and say God tells him that command, be strong and courageous, three times in the first nine verses of Joshua 1, right? And so to give this context, you know, Joshua 1:1,
right?
And we're talking about very clearly, Moses is dead.
Yes.
Yahweh's come to talk to Joshua, and he is in verse 6 and in verse 7 and in verse 9, he gives him this command to be strong and courageous. And so, you know, there's different, each one of them are kind of unique, but the promise in verse 9 that is kind of the capstone of the last thing God tells him in this is that I'll be with you.
Right.
Here's the promise, be strong, courageous, and I'll be with you, right? Yeah. Like as you go. And what an awesome promise. But that echoes a lot of what we hear in the New Testament, doesn't it? With I'll never leave you or forsake you, the gift of the Holy Spirit. This idea that the presence of God, do not fear, for I am with you, is a theme that runs throughout all of Scripture. Joshua needed that assurance, as he's going to go in, and we'll break that apart more now. But I think it's worth us in the New Testament realizing, hey, we have something that Joshua doesn't have, isn't that we have the Holy Spirit, and we have this guarantee that the Lord is with us. And so therefore, kind of reverse engineering,
Yeah.
Be strong and courageous. We don't have a spirit of fear or timidity, but one of power and love, right? Yeah.
Yeah, God has a call on our lives, and that's why the Bible is full of imperatives or commands that we're being called to. There is a life of trust and obedience that He's calling us to. But thank God, He also gives us so many promises that, in a sense, I think of them as fuel. They're fueling these commands. He's not just telling us to suck it up and obey. Mm-hmm. So often, the Lord is giving us promises that go right alongside these commands that He has given to us. So,
I like it.
Well, let's dive into Joshua. I'm going to read the first 9 verses of chapter 1, and then we'll just talk about some of what we see here from the Lord's dealings with Joshua. So let me read here. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you and all the people prepare to cross over the Jordan to the land I am giving the Israelites. I have given you every place where the sole of your foot treads, just as I promised Moses. Your territory will be from the wilderness and Lebanon to the great river, the Euphrates River, all the land of the Hittites, and west to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. I will be with you, just as I was with Moses. I will not leave you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you will distribute the land I swore to their ancestors to give them as an inheritance. Above all, be strong and very courageous to observe carefully the whole instruction my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you will have success wherever you go. This book of instruction must not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in whatever you do. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So we always like to do the what, so what, now what. So let's just start with what. What stands out to you here in these verses?
Man, what a call on a guy's life, right? Like you have followed Moses from Egypt out. Yeah. And you have seen him part the Red Seas. You've seen him ascend Mount Sinai. You've seen him meet with God face to face. I mean, this is Moses. You've seen him do miracle after miracle. And so now here's Joshua taking over that mantle and leading the people. The nervousness of that situation must just be huge.
I would think so.
I mean, he's a human like me and you, right?
Have you ever followed in the footsteps of a legendary pastor or leader?
Yeah, 39 years, almost like 40 years. Absolutely, yeah. And it is nerve-wracking, like as I followed Gary here. And it certainly is a feeling of I hope I don't mess this up. Like he's done a good work.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. Like, I hope I don't mess this up. And I think, and to your point, I can relate to this of, you know, the only way I can't mess this up is if I just follow the Lord.
Like,
I will get off base if I start following my own desires, which is exactly what God tells Joshua here, right? Like you're going to mess this up unless you just follow me. I'm going to be with you. Yeah. Like, I was with Moses. He just followed the presence.
Right.
And I'm with you. So let's go.
So Carlo and Ashley, a few weeks back, several podcasts back, they talked about mirror reading.
Yeah.
And we compare that to listening to one side of a phone conversation. Mm. And that's kind of what we have in the scriptures. We get this. And to mirror read is to speculate using our sanctified imaginations to why is God dealing with Joshua this way. And I think you've touched on one of the reasons is because he was following a legend. I mean, Moses is still the legend for the Jewish people, and imagine being the leader who came right after him. But Joshua was also about to impart on a very significant battle, literally life and death. He's going to cross the Jordan River, and he is going to take the Israelite people into battle against their enemies. in the land of Canaan. And so for both of these reasons, it's amazing that the way I experience this passage is God is meeting Joshua's level of anxiety. I think Joshua was probably feeling pretty overwhelmed. And God is meeting him with such a strong command and promise. Be strong and courageous. I'm going to be with you. And I take comfort from that, that when God takes us through challenging seasons, I believe he will meet us with the level of encouragement and instruction that we need.
I love that. And if you go back and let's put it in context, this is not just that he's following Moses, but 40 years prior to this, yeah, he had been a young man with spies on Jericho, spied on Canaan,
right,
and 10 of those other guys said, we can't do it. And he and Caleb were the only ones that said, yes, we can, because we have mm-hmm. the Lord with us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's waited 40 years and a whole generation. Now they're back, and he's the one leading them in. Moses mm-hmm. is dead. So he's and is now having to put his money where his mouth is.
Yeah, you know? It's go time.
Yeah, when he was a young guy, he probably had the confidence of, yeah, Moses can lead us.
Right.
Moses has been with us. Now you're fast forwarding, right, and he's like, oh, yeah, I have to lead us into this.
Yeah.
I also think about what Moses asked of God. He says, unless you go with us,
mm-hmm.
we will fail. Like what's going to help us stand out? Unless you are with us. This thing. And mm-hmm. we see that repetition. And as you look, and if you just want to be a good Bible student, we talk about the importance of repetition. And so I just want to show you a sandwich that happens mm-hmm. here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in verse 5, he gives a promise to him, and this is where it starts. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. All right, that's the first part of the bread. Then you have 3 be strong and courageous, right? And so mm-hmm. this is the substance. So I'll never leave you. 3 be strong and courageous, and then a following, and I'm going to be with you always.
Yep.
And so it's sandwiched in between, my presence is with you because of that. Be strong, courageous, be strong, courageous, be strong, courageous. Now, the middle one has very clear instructions, right? The two are just kind of encouragements, be strong and courageous.
Right.
The middle one has very, very big instructions, and I think that's where the meat of these be strong and courageous
yeah.
statements are. And so let's take a look at that. That's verse 7.
Okay.
He says, be strong, and then he emphasizes very courageous.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at the I'm with you, be strong, courageous, be strong, very courageous, be strong, courageous, I'm with you. It's this chiastic order here.
Mm-hmm.
And this middle section, he is saying, he's expounding upon, be careful to obey the law. So now we're getting into a command of what it looks like to be strong and courageous, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. There's awesome promises here. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So he tells him twice to be careful to do this, right? Then you will be prosperous and successful. And so we see this repetition of a promise here. Keep the word on your lips, not just to memorize it, but so that you'll do it. And if you will do that, you're going to prosper.
Yeah.
Like, I will be with you. I will make this happen. I just love that command. So that's kind of the what of this passage of he is giving a scared young man mm-hmm. an assurance that, hey, you don't have to be the most amazing leader. This isn't based off of your leadership skills.
Mm-hmm.
It's based off of my presence
mm-hmm.
and you just following what I have told the people to do, and this will go well.
Yeah.
Right? That's it.
I'm always a little surprised by that emphasis. Like you said, that is the meat of it. To stay true to the instructions that he had been given, to meditate on them, to observe them. Because you would think that the instructions would, I mean, he's being sent out on a military mission. And you would think the instructions would be something to do with military tactics or strategy. And that comes in later. But the heart and the foundation of his success was going to be to meditate on what God had revealed, the instructions that God had given, and to observe them. And again, I think that there are lessons for us that God is going to call us to trust him and to serve. And there are going to be very specific ways that he is calling us to do that. But the heart, the foundation is, you know, will I keep this book of the law in my mouth? Will I meditate on it day and night? Will I observe it?
And that's, and let's ask why.
Yeah.
Why? Why didn't he start with strategy? Here's how you're a good leader. Here's what you should do. Here's how you do a military leader. He's talking to him as a person, as a man.
Yeah.
He's not even saying this is a promise for all of Israel. He's talking to Joshua, you. Right. And I think there's a huge reason of that. You think about how does a young man keep his heart pure?
Mm-hmm.
By meditating on the word of the Lord day and night.
Yeah.
Right? And so this is a, hey, this is where you, this is what's going to shape you. And there'll be times when you need strategy.
Right.
You'll need those. But when you get to that time, will you be the right type of person? Will your character be right? Mm-hmm. And the only way that's going to happen, where you are bent towards God, is that you are reading. I think about this as a pastor a lot, Andrew. At what point have I studied the Bible enough?
You're right. I mean, you probably haven't gotten there yet.
I never will we.
Right.
Never. Like, at what point will we go, you know, I don't need to do my Bible reading this week. Yeah. I don't need to be in the Word this week. I've got degrees in this. I've studied this. Yeah. I've you know.
Right.
I think the humility of, hey, every day and night, humble yourself and study this.
One reason I love this passage, because like you started with, this is specifically God is interacting with Joshua, a specific man at a specific point in history. Mm-hmm. But the themes are very true for us today, that God, like you said, God has promised that he will be with us. He's given us his spirit. He's called us to be part of his work.
Mm-hmm.
He's calling us to be strong and courageous. Mm-hmm. So I love this passage, and even though we want to study it for its primarily for what was God doing in this moment, we do want to move to the so what and the now what. So I really appreciate you walking through that with us. Let's do some listener questions, unless you have anything else that you want to jump in on this one.
I was just thinking, even we get so preoccupied on our vocation in life. What is God calling me to do?
Right.
You know, maybe this is tender on my heart. You just, your youngest son has just gone out and to be in the Coast Guard. My oldest is getting ready to graduate and go to college. Yeah. You know, with them, we're thinking a lot about vocation. And so Joshua, you know, the nervousness of this is his vocation. He's got to lead Israel.
Yeah.
But God, when he's having a conversation with him, doesn't say anything right now. I mean, he does. Says, you're going to go lead. You're going to do all this. But most important, who you are as you do that vocation. I want to shape who you are. Like, just put my word in your heart. Know that I'm with you. Build everything off of that. And this is going to, there's a lot of mystery for Joshua what's about to happen. He doesn't know how this is going to unfold.
Right.
There's no assurances that he has other than God's with me. And he's giving me instruction. And I just think that's such a good thing to remind us, even as if you're a parent and you're giving advice to your kids, like there's such mystery about what life is going to have ahead of them. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. But what we can give them is, hey, I promise you that if you keep the word of the Lord and in your heart and you meditate on God's word and you know his presence, whatever is coming your way, you can be strong and courageous. And God's with you.
And that's the great promise, I think, here.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's some amazing promises here, but the great promise is that I'll be with you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will never leave you or forsake you. So whatever's coming in that future, that mysterious future that you're describing, the constant, the thing that Joshua can bank on from day one is that God's going to be with me.
And this is where I think it's good just to be Bible students to say, hey, let's be careful about promises that were specific to Joshua, and then what are universal promises, right? Yeah. Like, so God is not promising me and you that wherever we step our foot, we get to own.
Yeah. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread
upon.
Yeah,
that's not to us. That is specific to yeah. that situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, it's in a very specific part. Cross this river.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And once
yeah.
you're on the other side, yeah. every place that you go on the other side of that river.
Yeah. So that's very specific and local. Okay.
Yeah.
And yet, here are these other principles that if we filter it through the gospel, we say, hey, these are universal truths. Right. This is how this intersects our life. And so, just being a good Bible student to slow down and say, hey, there are some really neat truths we learn about our God. And maybe he'll give me some specific instructions for my local, context. But what's universally always going to be true is, hey, follow him, and this is going to work out the way it's supposed to, which is an awesome promise to be able to have. All right, so
we've got a couple of listener questions. We're going to jump into the New Testament here briefly, and then we're going to come back to Joshua.
Okay.
So question one is from the story of the Transfiguration. And specifically there, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up onto the mountain. This is in Mark chapter 9 that we read this past week. He's transfigured before them. They're amazed. They're dazzled, literally. And as they're coming back down off the mountain, Jesus warns them to tell no one about what they saw until after he was raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. And then they get into a conversation about what does that mean, raise the dead. Mm-hmm. But the question we have is, why does Jesus do that? Why does he take them up onto the mountain, allow himself to be transfigured before them, allow them to witness that, and then tell them, okay, don't tell anyone? I presume even the other 9 disciples? I don't know.
Oh, meaning like those 3 don't tell the other 9 guys?
That's what it seems like. Yeah, yeah. And he does this through, often Jesus is, in the Gospels will tell people, don't tell anyone, or he'll heal someone, tell no one. When he raises the synagogue official's daughter, don't tell anyone. You have any thoughts on why he would do that?
I mean, who knows the mind of the Lord, right? But I think we can speculate a few things in that. I'm thinking of Galatians 4:4. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." And I just like this idea of timing, that at the set time, I think of that, and that the whole plan was that he was going to die on the cross, right? Like, right. So there's a point in time in history that God had decided this is the right time to do that. And so I think this is pointing to that set time. I think of when Jesus performed his first miracle, and his mom came to him and says, hey, they're out of wine.
Right.
Will you do this thing? And he tells her, he says, woman, my time has not yet come. Which is an interesting thing, right? Yeah. And so he has on his mind, there is a set time. So I think what's happening here, and you see him say it a lot, because I think if the word had spread of what they've seen, they would probably have instituted some plans that would have derailed getting to the cross and whatnot. Like they would start trying to put their plans in place. And anything that would get in the way of that, like later Peter will say, you should never do that. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Right. Like there's one specific plan and time that Jesus is set on that I'm going to get to this. And so I think here's a little gift for Peter, James, and John. Mm. But don't tell anybody. After the whole plan is, and you see me die and resurrected, now you can begin sharing what you've seen. Mm. That this is going to matter later on. My time hasn't come.
I love that, man. And I think it's one of the harder lessons I've had to learn as I follow Jesus is that sometimes it's a question of timing. You know, you often hear that when you pray, God can say yes, he can say no, or he can say not yet, or I'm not answering that right. The time is not right. And sometimes that timing, that issue of trusting God for his timing is a really challenging one for us.
Oh my gosh, that might be one of the hardest things there is.
So right? I like that a lot, that it's not just a question of right or wrong, but the timing of God. Mm. Well, the other question is from Joshua, like I said, and this is from Joshua chapter 5. There's an interesting story there at the end of the chapter where Joshua is near Jericho, and it says that this is in verses 13 through 15, he looks up and he sees a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword. Joshua approaches the man and asks, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied. "I have now come as commander of the Lord's army." Then Joshua bowed with his face to the ground in homage and asked him, "What does my Lord want to say to his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. And the question here is, what is this all about? What is the role of this man that Joshua encounters? And is this the Lord? What are your thoughts on this
and particular passage? Why does he say, "I'm neither for you or against
right.
you"? Like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because you think he'd say, "I'm for you."
That'd right? be great. Yeah, it'd be great to hear that if you're Joshua.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, so what's going on? Well, first of all, isn't it cool, just back up, and you say, from the crossing of the Jordan on, God has arranged this in such a way that he's both marking the leaving of the wilderness. Because remember, there's a lot of things happening that also happened to Moses.
Right.
Right? So you had the burning bush experience from Moses, and take off your feet, your shoes, you're on holy ground.
Yeah.
That was in the wilderness. You had the splitting of the Red Sea,
right
to get into it all.
Crossing
the Red Sea. And then you also just kind of have this, I'm trying to remember if Moses had to do anything with circumcision. Did he have to circumcise?
He had to circumcise his two sons.
Yeah. So you have a repetition here. So now you have those three things happening here. So they cross the Jordan. So you've left the wilderness, and guess what? It splits and they cross on dry ground. It's very reminiscent of that story.
Yeah.
Just like they celebrated with Ebenezer stones and a celebration when they crossed the Red Sea, when you cross the Jordan, they create and they have that. You have the whole circumcision thing happening where he's going to have to recircumcise renewing the covenant. And so we're doubling down. We are your people. Mm-hmm. And so here is another event of, hey, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. And I think for Moses, that probably was an extremely humbling event.
Yeah.
Right? Take off your shoes. What are you doing? So you might get consumed. And if you read that story of Moses, he's scared to death.
Yeah.
And so I think this is a moment for Joshua hey, just like Moses had this experience, you had this experience. But I like the order of it in that Moses' call experience at the burning bush happened before.
That was sort of the first thing that happened.
That was the first thing.
He's a shepherd in the wilderness. And
this happens after the split of the Red Sea.
Yeah.
After, hey, I'm with you always. And he says, I'm not either for you. I think this is a humbling of Joshua to hear the angel saying, oh, no, I don't serve you. I serve Yahweh.
Right.
Like, are you for us or against us? And he's just saying, hey, Joshua, it's not about you. It's about Yahweh.
Yeah.
And I think it's always really good. It's so easy, and I'll speak as a leader and you lead as others as well. And I don't even know if this is unique to leaders. I think this is just the sinful heart of man that's amplified when you get into a leadership position. It's so easy to make it about us.
Right.
And my prayers become about, hey, help me, lead me, you know.
Right.
And it's all very me oriented. And so I think the comment of it's not about you or your, it's about Yahweh and his plans. And Joshua, you're wrapped up into that story.
And you know, I think you're right on that. And it's a gift, right? Because like for Moses, basically God appears in this burning bush and he tells Moses, I want to do something. I've heard my people's cry and I remember the promises I made to Abraham. So now I'm sending you. I want to bring you into this work that I'm doing. And you kind of see this with Joshua that I'm doing something to fulfill promises that I made to past generations. I'm bringing the Israelites into this promised land, and I'm inviting you, I'm calling you to enter this project, you know, this promise. And well, that's a great place to be, because now it's no longer like I've got this great thing that I'm trying to do and it's all on me to do this for God. You know, God is doing something and he's calling me to trust him and to be a part of
it. And I think that perspective is huge. I think in modern evangelism, we have twisted the gospel in a weird way to say, hey, invite Jesus into your heart, into your life.
Yes.
And he's like, wait a second, no.
Yeah.
When you become a Christian, you are being adopted into God's life,
right.
His story.
Yes.
You're being accepted into his heart.
Right.
And which is a wild concept, right?
Right?
And so that change is, it's not about me. I'm not the main character. I'm not the main story. Mm-hmm. He is. And by the way, my joy, my fullness, my peace is found when I stop trying to be the main character and make God serve me, and I make it about him, and I die to myself, and I pick up my cross and say it's about him, and that's what this is. So I think this is a humbling moment for Joshua to hear, and a powerful one for him to remember.
Yeah.
Of and there's other questions that people read into it of who is this messenger,
right?
But we don't
right.
know. The quick answer to that is
it doesn't spell it out explicitly.
It does not. So there's, to me, it's there's no need to spend much time pondering what I'll never know. I think the bigger lesson there is hey, we serve a big God and we're wrapped up into his plans, right?
Amen.
Well, hey, Paseo, excited to continue on in this journey of reading God's word together, of wrestling. Thank you for questions. Don't stop sending them in. We like that a lot. Love hearing from you. And man, if you're kind of newer to this and you're just jumping in at this time, that's great. Just keep on going. There is a humbling of ourselves to meditate on his word day and night and to keep it on our lips. And so that's what we're trying to help each other do. We love you. We'll see you next week this time. Bye.